Built Back Better, From Boris Johnson to Greta and Extinction Rebellion, Britain's Year of Climate Craziness. By Kurt Sindelka on December 31, 2021. In 2021, Britain was consumed by mass hysteria over an allegedly man-made global crisis, with leaders proposing drastic measures and streets flooded with demonstrations in response to the government's draconian actions. No, not the Chinese coronavirus crisis, but rather the supposedly impending Armageddon of climate change. In the second year of the pandemic, the United Kingdom has been at the forefront of the Great Reset, with government officials and eco-radicals taking advantage of the economic turmoil inflicted by the Wuhan virus to call for a transformation of all aspects of life for a greener future and to build back better. The upper echelon of the British establishment, including Prince Charles and Prime Minister Boris Johnson, as well as crusty street activists from groups like Extinction Rebellion and Insulate Britain, and even teenage eco-queen Greta Thunberg, all joined together to foster panic over the real pandemic in a year of climate craziness in the United Kingdom. Boris and Biden's bromance over the Build Back Better agenda. The year began on an ominous note in January, with Prime Minister Boris Johnson becoming the first world leader outside of North America to receive a personal phone call from the newly elected President of the United States, 78-year-old Democrat Joe Biden. Early indications during the 2020 presidential election pointed to a potential strained special relationship should Biden prevail, with the globalist-minded Democrat long expressing his opposition to Brexit and even to the British, downplaying his English ancestry but often touting his Irish ancestry. However, the two leaders had a bond over their shared campaign slogan Build Back Better, which has often been associated with the Davos-based World Economic Forum, WEF. The WEF has said that in the wake of the Chinese coronavirus pandemic, governments throughout the world should adopt more socialist-style policies as well as introduce giant Green New Deal-style initiatives in order to fulfill a great reset of capitalism. In the January phone call, Biden and Boris expressed their commitments to drive a green and sustainable recovery from COVID-19 at the G7 meeting in Cornwall and the United Nations COP26 climate summit in Glasgow, both of which Johnson would later serve as host. While Mr. Johnson had previously been compared in the mainstream media to former President Donald Trump, the reality is that the PM has always been on the more liberal side of the political spectrum, despite becoming the leader of the Conservative Party of Britain, and was fiercely critical of Mr. Trump as mayor of London. On issues such as migration, free trade, and climate change, Mr. Johnson continues to closely align with the globalist neoliberal perspective of Joe Biden and the Democrats in the United States. Eco-zealots Extinction Rebellion return to the streets. After a long winter of hibernation, the far-left eco-warrior activist group Extinction Rebellion popped their heads up again in June to once again target the media for what they saw as complicity in the climate crisis. A total of 23 activists were arrested in London after dumping a truckload of horse manure outside the offices of the Daily Mail newspaper to symbolize the bullshit printed in the tabloid about the climate. The direct action was reminiscent of the year before, when Extinction Rebellion targeted the mainstream media by blocking the entrance to two British printing plants, causing disruption to the distribution of the Daily Telegraph, the Daily Mail, and the Financial Times, as well as Rupert Murdoch-owned newspapers The Sun and The Times. The outrage over the attack on the press resulted in Home Secretary Priti Patel proposing a series of draconian restrictions on the right to protest in order to combat the likes of Extinction Rebellion and Black Lives Matter, which some on the political right have warned will inevitably be used as means of clamping down on all protest movements. The dirty protest outside the Daily Mail was just a warm-up for what was to come from the crusty crusaders, however. In August, Extinction Rebellion embarked on 2 weeks of daily disruptive protests in London and throughout the rest of the country to ostensibly highlight their cause du jour. On the first day of the protests, XR was filmed by Breitbart London shutting down a main thoroughfare in central London, erecting a giant pink table with the words "Come to the Table" written on it. Others were seen lying underneath cars to halt traffic, with others setting up tents in the road. While the police took a hands-off approach during the opening ceremony, eventually, after a full day of disrupting businesses, some 52 activists were arrested, including some who used lock-on devices to effectively glue themselves to the giant table. In total, some 508 XR radicals were arrested during the 2 weeks of protests, with many being detained for gluing themselves to the roads of London. Scotland Yard's Deputy Assistant Commissioner Matt Twist said that the disruptive forms of protests have prevented officers from focusing on violent crimes. Every time several officers are needed to arrest a single activist, these are officers diverted from our number one priority, bearing down on violence. We are highly resilient, but it is frustrating that communities are denied their officers in order to deal with a very protracted protest, he said. Watermelons, green on the outside, red on the inside. While Extinction Rebellion has attempted to claim that they are a bipartisan organization, street demonstrations organized by the group have shown activists profess far-left radical positions. During the final day of XR's two-week campaign over the summer, a speaker from the Marxist-Leninist Revolutionary Communist Group, RCG, addressed a cheering crowd in Trafalgar Square, pronouncing that socialism is the only solution to climate change. The only logical response to the urgency of the climate crisis is through an anti-capitalist, anti-imperialist socialist movement built here on our streets, the XR activist said in footage filmed by Breitbart London. Environmental destruction is an essential part of the capitalist mode of production. Any movement that is not anti-imperialist will simply be green imperialism. Socialism is the only alternative to the destruction born through capitalism. The needs of the people and the planet are put before profits, the leftist said. The socialist leanings of the Green movement in Britain were once again put on display in November outside the COP26 climate change summit in Glasgow, Scotland. In a Breitbart London exclusive video, Edinburgh University medical student and climate activist Michaela Loach warned that we are in last resort times, which require audacious action to confront the government. We must demand an end to capitalism. We must demand an end to white supremacy. We must demand black liberation. We must abolish prisons and the police, she proclaimed. Our demands should not be toned down or palatable. They should worry, disrupt, and challenge the status quo, Loach said. Unsurprisingly, the Green activists often do not tend to live up to their professed principles. In an embarrassing admission, Extinction Rebellion co-founder Dr. Gail Bradbrook revealed in August that she currently owns a diesel-powered car, despite campaigning to eliminate the use of fossil fuels by 2030. Defending the apparent hypocrisy, Extinction Rebellion spokesman Jonathan Tassel said, "We're all hypocrites, right? We're all in the system, right?" Insulate Britain attacks the working class. While environmentalists often attempt to claim they are fighting for the downtrodden, who would presumably be the most impacted by a climate catastrophe, the actions of an Extinction Rebellion splinter group known as Insulate Britain seem to run counter to the claim. Following the example of Extinction Rebellion, Insulate Britain activists have frequently glued themselves to the road. However, instead of focusing on wealthy city center postcodes, the emergent group has staged protests on major motorways and junctions throughout the country, resulting in chaos and delays for average workers simply trying to commute to their jobs. Insulate Britain's road blockades have also resulted in some serious injury for people who were prevented from reaching medical care. Yet the group has tried to defend their actions, comparing such incidents to collateral damage suffered during the Second World War. The public has seemingly not bought such excuses, including one mother who was filmed in October attempting to slowly drive through the blockade of eco-activists, as a bystander yelled, "Get out of the road, you silly CTS!" After the protesters refused to budge, she got back in her car and shouted, "I don't care what the effing issue is, my son needs to get to school." A similar incident was caught on camera just days prior, when a group of workers and small business owners dragged the Insulate Britain protesters off the road. "Why aren't you at work? Why are you stopping people from getting to, expletive, work?" the men demanded. Brexit leader Nigel Farage accused Insulate Britain of acting like terrorists, saying that they are prepared to risk the lives of other people just because they have this hysterical view that unless we go back and live in caves, billions of people are going to die. "It isn't just eco-alarmism. I rather changed my mind yesterday. When I saw the founder of Extinction Rebellion saying that he would stop an ambulance with a flashing light going to hospital, I now think these people have moved into the realms of being terrorists," Farage added. Tory MP Andrew Bridgen said of the group, They are putting people's livelihoods and indeed lives at risk through their reckless behavior. They don't actually care about what's good for the general public, and they are little more than anarchists. Yet, the disruptive protests were seemingly defended by the heir to the British throne, Prince Charles, who said that he understands the frustration of climate activists. Going off the rails for the 26 Colombian pesos crazy train, tens of thousands of delegates, businessmen, and world leaders descended upon the Scottish city of Glasgow in late October for the United Nations COP26 Climate Change Conference, with hundreds of private jets being used to ferry the supposedly green-conscious elites to the meeting. Rather than taking a more eco-friendly train to the meeting, Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who hosted the COP26 conference, flew to Glasgow on a private plane, after doing the same when he hosted the G7 in Cornwall earlier this year instead of taking an alternative 5-hour train journey. Mr. Johnson, who attempted to use COP26 to highlight his Global Britain and Build Back Better agenda, tried to cast the climate as the preeminent issue of our time, declaring that the world is 1 minute to midnight on that doomsday clock. During the summit, Johnson's nominally conservative government called for a global carbon border tax to punish countries that don't live up to emissions standards. Kicking off the COP26 craziness, Prince Charles, who also traveled to the meeting by private jet, said in a keynote speech that wealthy nations must take a warlike footing to confront climate change. The COVID-19 pandemic has shown us just how devastating a global cross-border threat can be. Climate change and biodiversity loss are no different. In fact, they pose an even greater existential threat, to the extent that we have to put ourselves on what might be called a warlike footing, he said. The British royal warned that time has quite literally run out, and therefore Western nations should invest trillions into marshalling a vast military-style campaign to fight climate change. Not to be outdone, Swedish teenage climate activist Greta Thunberg used her appearance in Glasgow to seemingly call for reparations over colonialism to help impoverished nations prepare for the coming climate crisis. She claimed that the West owes a historical debt to countries of the global South, which she said is on the front line of the climate crisis. Boris Johnson channels communist dictator Vladimir Lenin. While Prime Minister Boris Johnson swept to victory over far-left Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn in 2019, in large part over concerns about Corbyn's socialist policies, it was the Conservative PM who actually quoted Soviet dictator Vladimir Lenin in order to promote his green agenda in front of a group of British business leaders. Lenin once said that the communist revolution was Soviet power plus the electrification of the whole country. Johnson said at the annual meeting of the Confederation of British Industry, CBI, in November. Well, I hesitate to quote Lenin at the Confederation of British Industry, but the coming industrial revolution is green power plus the electrification of the whole country, he continued. Mr. Johnson said that his green agenda is a moral mission, explaining that he has become more idealistic as he has grown older. It's a moral thing, but it's also an economic imperative. Because if this country could achieve the same kind of geographical balance and dispersion of growth and wealth that you find in most of our most successful economic comparators, then there would be absolutely no stopping us in what we would achieve, the Prime Minister said. As a part of his Build Back Better agenda, Johnson has vowed to reach net zero carbon emissions by the year 2050, a goal which is expected to cost the country, mostly the average consumer, trillions over the next 3 decades. Johnson's Build Back Better agenda gets a frosty reception. There has been some pushback against the Prime Minister's Build Back Better agenda from the more conservative wing of his own party, as well as from Reform UK, the rebranded Brexit party. In an exclusive interview with Breitbart London, Reform UK leader Richard Tice said that Johnson's green agenda will benefit despotic regimes like China and Russia more than the average British citizen. Tice branded the Net Zero by 2050 plan as nothing more than net stupid, because it will send hundreds of thousands of British jobs to China and hundreds of billions of our money to China. These are life-changing decisions for the whole nation. Forever, at a time when literally other nations like China and Russia are looking at us, going, "You silly old fools, we're literally laughing at you," he said. Perhaps more concerning for the Prime Minister, his green push was reportedly one of the central reasons, alongside high taxes and lockdowns, for the resignation of the government's Brexit negotiator, Lord David Frost. Prior to his resignation, Lord Frost warned that Johnson was risking the potential benefits of Brexit through pursuing a high-tax European social model. The high-profile resignation was just the latest blow against Johnson's leadership. After suffering an embarrassing election defeat to the Liberal Democrats in the North Shropshire parliamentary by-election and barely weathering a large rebellion from within his own party against the latest round of coronavirus restrictions, questions have swirled around Westminster over whether Johnson will soon be deposed as leader. Commenting on the potential political downfall of the Prime Minister, Brexit leader Nigel Farage said last week that Johnson suffers from not actually believing in anything and a lack of conservative principles. He needs to decide pretty much immediately what he stands for and get a team of loyal folk around him, otherwise I think this governmental disintegration will continue and you know what, he might be gone sooner than almost anybody thinks, Farage warned. Follow Kurt Zindelka on Twitter here at Kurt Zindelka.